Yard and landscape issues up next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Brian, we got several different topics we want to talk about today.
Okay.
And these are important ones because, after all, it is spring and we got lots of things to get done. In fact, we're going to talk about what we're doing lately. And Brian, you asked me what I've been doing lately.
Yep.
And I don't have any major project around the house right now because I've opened up my schedule for Little League Baseball and yard work.
It seems like this time of year, yard work consumes a lot of time.
Yes, and so does Little League Baseball.
And so does Little League Baseball, yeah. Well, fortunately, I have girls, and they don't play right. Little League Baseball, so they just do their girl stuff, and, you know, that's fine.
What is that? What do they do in the spring? What, just hopscotch and exactly. Run around the yard? So either way, you have yard work.
Right.
All right, well, let's provide our contact information, then we'll get on with the show.
Okay, you can always... just go to our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com, and click on the Contact Us link, and all the information about contacting us is up there. If you're listening to the show for the first time, don't forget to subscribe. Right on our homepage or all other pages, we have a link to subscribe in iTunes if you've got an iPod, RSS for other types of portable media devices. Or just the email subscription. It's all right there on the homepage.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the handy guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
Okay, Brian, it's springtime, and one of the topics or items on my agenda is to consider not only mulching my bed, my gardens, but also we're thinking about possibly starting our first vegetable garden this year.
Right. And it's getting a little late for that. You better get on that, Paul.
Okay. It's not going to happen until next year. But we are considering where to put it. And when we do landscaping, we're taking that into consideration. But one of my concerns, Brian, around here is that there are a lot of critters,
yeah,
and animals and I don't know, deer, certainly. And I'm concerned that if I start to grow something, that it's going to get eaten by someone other than myself.
Right. Well, I got a question from a guy who was having problems with, he thinks, his neighbor's cats, but maybe it's also feral cats. Do you know what a feral cat is, what feral means?
Those are the ones that make a lot of noise in the middle
of
the
night. No.
Yeah.
Essentially a domesticated animal gone wild.
Yeah.
So it'd be like a stray cat, right?
Okay.
So he's having problems with cats getting in his garden, right? So how do we keep all of these things out? Maybe it's skunks, maybe it's raccoons, maybe it's deer, maybe it's, you know,
sure,
your dog, whatever it might be. So what kind of options off the top of your head, Paul? Because I know this is the first time you've thought about this. So off the top of your head, what do you think might be a good option?
Well, you could put a fence around your garden of some
sort.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So you put a fence around.
Right.
So fence isn't going to help with the deer.
Right.
Right, unless you've got an 8-foot tall chain link fence.
It's not going to help with the deer or the real little animals, like the mice that I've seen mice just climb
voles,
up tomato plants,
yeah,
and eat
all
the
that
tomatoes,
kind of
things
stuff.
Like that.
Right. And I don't know if, you know, cayenne pepper. So I did a little research. Cayenne pepper is one way that people will spread that around their garden, and that'll keep certain critters away, perhaps cats, maybe
you don't have
skunks,
to grow cayenne
dogs.
Pepper. You just have to spread it around.
You just spread it around, yeah. Now, when I was a kid, my parents always planted marigolds around the perimeter of their vegetable garden. And that supposedly kept away things like rabbits and squirrels out of the garden.
Wow. So far, these are natural remedies to the problem. But, you know, you either grow a plant or spread
cayenne
spice.
Right. But, Paul, as I was researching this, I came across something that's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's called, well, you've heard of scarecrows, right? You know, like in Wizard of Oz or whatever.
Yep.
And, you know,
they scare the crows away.
They scare the crows away. Well, there's a product out there called the Scarecrow Sprinkler.
All right.
So what this thing does is it's a motion-activated sprinkler. So you want to keep those cats out of your garden, this is going to do really do the trick. And it's going to water your garden at the same time. So that cat comes in and it gets close, and that sprinkler kicks on and gives him a shot of water, and off he goes.
So you just need to make sure, though, that you have a hose run out to your garden.
Sure, which you're going to have anyway, because you're doing gardening and you got to water your plants and all of that. So you're going to have water.
But Brian, I don't want a hose running across my yard if my garden is across the other side of my yard. So maybe it's time for an irrigation system.
There you go. Well, you know,
and a little hookup right near the garden.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're serious about gardening, you are going to have a spigot close to the garden versus running 50-foot of hose out to the back of your property or whatever.
You know, there is a product, and maybe we need to talk about it. Maybe we need to do a whole show on irrigation. But there's a DIY product.
What's that?
Which allows you just to use a shovel blade, and you use that to sort of trench your lawn just with the width of the blade. Mm-hmm. And this hose is made shaped like a blade. It's flattened, and it slides right down into that little trench. And I forget what it's called. I think the company's out of Minnesota or something like that. But it allows you to actually put in your own irrigation system.
Well, you could certainly do your own irrigation system using traditional methods as well.
Yep.
You know, with all the connectors and the piping and
everything.
You can
do it yourself, but then you got to trench your lawn up and make a mess. They have these machines. Have you ever seen them? They trench the lawn for irrigation, and they do it in such a way that the hole in the top, the slit is really thin.
Right.
And it actually kind of folds the grass back over it.
Right.
So
and it actually kind of pulls that pipe through.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So after you've seen that done once, you're thinking, I'll never trench my own yard myself. But this other product you could do with that, and it doesn't really do any damage because it's just
the
width of a blade of a shovel. So anyway, we'll talk about that maybe on another show.
Right.
But so you're saying this hose, you hook up the water product, motion sensor. What about kids? What about when they're around the garden?
It's going to give them a squirt too.
All right. So keep but them. It is
like a traditional sprinkler head on there. Yeah. So it is going to be adjustable as far as spray pattern and all of that. So if you want to adjust it so it just sprays on your garden, you can do that.
Any idea on cost?
Yeah, it's about $50.
Okay, so that is awesome. Now that I think of it, depending on how often they get in, you know, there you go. Like you said, you have the garden watered. And I'm even considering a raised bed garden. They're actually called gardening by the foot. They're these raised boxes. You build a box. You fill it with really good nutrients, soil, loam, and some other products. They tell you how to fill it. And supposedly because it's raised, that also helps keep some of the animals out. And also the weeds. You have fewer weeds.
I was always wondering why people raise their flower beds. Yeah. And I know we're going to do a show all about gardens and flower beds or vegetable gardens and stuff like that. Yeah, we hope. And so that's one of my questions for down the road for a future show is why do you raise those beds up? What's the benefit versus just, you know, like my dad had the 17 horsepower, rototiller that he would make me lug into the backyard and dig up the
There's
garden.
A couple of advantages. One I just mentioned. The other is if you have terrible soil or no topsoil, you build these boxes up, fill them with good soil.
Right. Versus amending and trying to condition the soil that you've already got.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll talk about that in another show. But there you go. There's a trick. We'll put this product on our page. That's kind of a neat idea. I like to see how it works. I can't wait to try it.
All right.
Okay. Up next, we're going to talk about what, Brian?
What are you doing lately,
Paul? All right. What do you do lately?
What are you doing lately?
Okay, Brian, so you asked me what I'm doing lately. I said Little League and lawn care. And one of the things I need to do, Brian, is mulch, like most of us have to do this time of year. And so you asked me about the mulching, and I haven't done
now,
it.
Now, as our listeners may recall, Paul got rid of his pickup truck, back in the fall.
Right.
So what are you going to do, Paul?
Right.
Now you can't go get that 2 yards of
Have you seen the trunk of a Honda? They're actually pretty good size. And you said what? How many bags do you think I can get in it? And I don't buy bags of mulch.
Right.
The guy comes out on a backhoe and dumps it in. So
I want to see the guy with the front end loader dump a load of mulch in the back of your Honda
Accord. That would make a good YouTube video, actually. Maybe we wonder if I could line it first because it's like in pristine condition right now.
I would pay money to see that.
Right. Obviously, I'm not going to do that, but it was a great convenience. There was a place with mulch literally about 300 yards from my house, maybe a little further, but around the corner, I'd pull my truck in and he would pack in 2.5 yards or so of mulch in the bed. And then the great thing is, you know, you could have it delivered, no problem.
Right.
But the great thing is now that it's in my truck, I would just pull it up onto the lawn right in front of the gardens and just start dumping the mulch right near the gardens, pull it around to the side gardens, dump it near there and get it right where I needed it. I didn't have a driveway full of mulch I had to clean out. I didn't have, you have to worry about it being rained on if I didn't get it done in time when they delivered and all that. So it was very convenient. So that's what I'm doing. But now I need to find somebody else has a truck. Oh, hey, yeah. Brian.
What?
Might need to borrow your truck.
All right. So, this Saturday, I don't know what's going on.
What are our mulching options if you don't have a truck? What are people doing these days?
If you don't have a pickup truck, you're going to either borrow one or, you know, convince a friend.
Yeah.
To go with you, you know, to get that mulch. And, you know, sometimes a lot of people don't need, you know, an entire pickup truck load of mulch, but it's cheap when you buy it that way.
Yeah.
So maybe 2, 3, 4 people get together in a neighborhood, the one guy with the pickup truck, you go in on it, you get your mulch, and then you drive that pickup truck to different neighbors' houses.
Except that a pickup truck is really, well, for some people that might be plenty. Around here, I see a lot of people getting 3, 4, 5 yards of mulch.
Yeah, that's a lot of mulch.
I know. Well, they have a lot of gardens, I guess, but I see big piles of it.
Yeah.
So
either that or you're going to get it delivered.
Yeah.
Or you're going to buy it by the bag.
Now, by the bag, what are the advantages or disadvantages of getting it by the bag?
By the bag is extremely expensive compared to getting it in bulk.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh.
You know, they're going to charge a couple of bucks a bag for that stuff. You can get a cubic yard of mulch for like 20 bucks.
I think you need about 4 bags for a cubic yard or something like that. I think each bag is
about 0.3 cubic yards.
Okay, so you need about three plus bags. But the difference is, Brian, there's a difference.
What's the difference?
It's not an apples to apples comparison.
Why is that?
They compress it in those bags. You get more.
Really?
Yeah, you get a little more than what?
I don't know.
It's compressed and tightened in those bags. When you get it loose, you don't get, it's not necessarily a one-to-one comparison. But nevertheless, I still think you do a little better price-wise, like you said, delivered. And not only that, but I think you have better choices when you go to the nursery. And usually, for some reason, they only have a few different things at the big box stores. And the ones they have, some of them are kind of weird.
Like, yeah, they've got like colored mulch.
Yeah, the purple mulch just doesn't do anything for me.
Or the red. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Weird reds. And some people like red.
They've got the black ones too, and they're actually dyed black.
Yeah, I don't.
So they're really dark.
I know some people like the black, but for some, I like the dark brown, a little more natural looking to me. The black, I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks all right, I guess. It's better than the purple or the red.
You've got a third option, Paul. Some communities will have recycling programs where trees, tree limbs, trimmings that the power companies will do, Christmas trees, things like that, all go into a community shredder, and they'll make that mulch available for you to go pick up for free anytime you want.
And how you've done that. How's the quality of the mulch? How well is it shredded?
You know, I talked to the guy who actually does the shredding in my town, and he said, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't like this, mm-hmm. Premium mulch that you'll get at the nursery, but it was pretty good. You know, occasionally you'd find a little piece of trash or something in it. But he said, next year we're getting the double grinder.
Oh.
So they're getting a double grinder versus the single grinder.
And is it free or is it?
It's free.
Interesting. Maybe I will have to check it out.
Yep. So it, and you go there and they've got a front end loader and they'll just put a big, huge scoop in the back of your truck and off you go. Now, I know in another township nearby, they have the same program, but they come out and they just put it in a big pile in the corner of the lot near the municipal building,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to go with your own shovel and forklift and fill up your truck or fill up bags and whatever. So that's less than ideal. You know, some larger townships will have
actual
equipment to load it in
Absolutely.
Your truck for you.
That's the way to go. All right. Well, good tip there. So there's three methods for getting your mulch. Have a great spring mulching your gardens. And up next, we'll have a couple tips about what not to do when installing your mulch. And also, you have anything else?
What are you doing lately for me?
Oh, yeah. So up next, we're going to have a couple tips about installing the mulch, and we're going to find out what Brian is doing lately.
Want great deals on tools that the handy guys recommend? Click on the Our Store button at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, one thing I want to point out about mulch that I've always been told is that you should not put that mulch against your house.
Absolutely not. You know, when we talked about basement finishing and making sure you keep water out of your basement, we talked about maintaining a positive grade and slope away from your house. So the mulch plays into that. You want to not only make sure that you're not creating a moat around your house by building up the ground around your house so that the water will run towards the house. You want to avoid that. But also, you don't want that mulch up against any kind of siding. It's got to be right up against that foundation, but not up against wood siding or even vinyl siding, because that means it's up higher than the level of the framing behind it.
Right. So there's wood right behind that vinyl that the termites can travel right through there.
Right.
But in my case, I know in the front at least, it's just the concrete that it's going against. So that's okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it can go up against concrete.
And nice thing is I have an overhanging roof, so it keeps most of that mulch near the house drier, which also helps with the pests because they want it to be moist. So be careful about that mulch. You can do some damage to your house if you attract termites.
And here's another tip. When you're moving that mulch around, everyone goes and gets their shovel.
Yeah.
But when you're unloading it out of the truck, a pitchfork, believe it or not, can move that mulch a lot easier. You know, when you go to just dig a shovel down into that big pile of mulch, it kind of stops. You know, the blade hits against, you know, a big chunk of mulch and you can't push it down in there. The pitchfork works great.
All right. So good tip, Ryan. Let's now talk about what you are doing lately. What do you got going on?
What are you doing lately?
Paul, I'm thinking about putting a fence in the backyard.
You're not getting along with your neighbors there or something like that?
No, actually, you know, and that's one of my considerations. I get along great with my neighbors. And
you want to keep it that way?
I'm thinking about doing a fence because we've talked about decks in the past, and I also want to do a deck. But I've got a dog right now. I keep the dog outside on a, on a wire, on a chain. And the dog is, you know, kind of not so smart sometimes, and it'll get tangled up in the posts for the deck. So right now I've got some little wire fencing and stuff like that to keep the dog from getting tangled up. But if I do a deck, that's going to look awful. And I want to have a fence before I do a deck. That's at least where my head's at right now, right? So then I can let the dog out and not worry about the dog getting tangled up in the post for the deck.
What about instead of doing a deck, you do a patio?
I've got too much gray change out there. So,
well, not if you do a retaining wall. And
I know, I know. I've thought about all of that.
And just
care
and maintenance kind of just goes away.
Yeah. But one of my problems I'm thinking about with the fence is...
Well, I was just thinking that would solve that dog problem too.
It absolutely would.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we've got neighbors with kids and so forth, and they all play ball out back, right? You know, practice baseball, pitching and whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they extend beyond their yard, and I want them to be able to do that. I don't want to be a miserly neighbor and keep off the grass and, you know, all of that. But if I put a fence up, that would interfere with that, and that would make me kind of, you know, not feel as neighborly.
Well, the other concern I would have on your property, and really the concern I have with any fence is that it limits your property. Like if you have some space around your backyard, which in case you do, I do, I know I do.
Right.
You end up putting this fence in, it's kind of like I've just made my yard smaller because I can't spill over at all.
Exactly.
And we have a neighbor two doors down, same thing, because we have some common area behind us. They had a fence. Part of the reason is they thought someday they'd have a dog. They did have a dog. They got rid of the dog. And then they eventually got rid of the fence. They just decided it was in the way. It's a pain because they had to mow inside it and outside it.
Right.
It's just, they took it down.
Yeah, that's all the kind of stuff I'm thinking about. Because, you know, I don't know how many acres of open space behind my property. My property is pretty small, but when you look out the back door, it looks huge.
Yeah.
You know? And So that fence is going to make it really seem small. And plus all of the complexity of putting in gates. You know, I run tractor on that open space behind the house.
You run so track?
I run a tractor across that a couple times a year.
Do the mile?
And, you know, so I've got to have
gates
that are big enough for the tractor to get into the backyard and to get out. Also delivery of materials, getting my truck in there.
All for the dog. All this for the dog, right?
Well,
that's really the only convenience in your case. It's not like you have neighbors' dogs that are getting in your yard that are paying.
Right, but
it's really for your dog to keep your dog to have the convenience to be able to let your dog out and not have to worry about.
That was the thinking. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? And then I'm thinking.
I can understand that from that perspective.
You know, and then I started pricing the fence stuff out. And it's pretty expensive to buy prefabbed sections. You know how they'll sell like 8-foot sections?
Yes, it is.
So, you know, the white picket fence kind of thing.
And the maintenance.
Is like $70 per 8-foot section. You've got PVC fencing. I think that looks like PVC fencing, right? I'm not too into that. So I was thinking of actually stick building this fence, and I found a distributor of the materials that's got some overstock white cedar pickets for like $1 a piece, and so I could do a fence pretty inexpensively if I build it stick by stick. Don't know. Fence or how you're going to put those fence posts in? Do you cement them in? Use concrete or not, maybe only on the corners or on the gateposts, you know, things like that I've been thinking through as well. But we're running short on time, so I'm not going to get into all of that. But that's kind of what I'm doing lately in my head.
If you're listening to the Handy Guys podcast right now, let us know what you think Brian should do. Remember, he's got open space behind his backyard, but he has a fairly small yard. Should he fence it in for his dog?
Let us know.
All right. Well, that's all we have this week for the Handy Guys podcast. That's what we've been doing lately. No big projects, just yard work like the rest of you. If you have any questions, please let us know. Send an email to us at handyguyspodcast.com, and we'll be back next week with another Handy Guys podcast episode. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.